And I used it a little bit in the kids' message about the first writer out of the in the book of Revelation with a bow. So let's pray for the message, shall we? Lord, I ask that you would be with us today, that you would use whatever I put together up here and work it for each of us in our lives, especially for this group of young people as they come and they join the church, but they also make a profession of faith and confirmation of their belief in you and that they are children of God and what that means in terms of our lives. So I ask that you would bless this message with more than just the human work that has been done. In Jesus' name, amen. People talk about their prayer life. Their prayer life is either good or bad, but we need to change our entire thought patterns towards prayer and our life of prayer, you might say. The attitude we need to discover is that we don't have a prayer life, but our life is to be a prayer. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't have a prayer life. My prayer life is non-existent. My life is a prayer. The word intercession, which is one of the things that we were doing up here, praying for these kids, and its different forms, is an interesting word. The basic definition of the word intercession in both the Hebrew and the Old Testament and the Greek and the New Testament is to light upon by chance or to happen upon. That is the essential definition of the word intercession in both Hebrew and the Greek, to happen upon by chance, intercession. That tells me that the pattern of prayers for others goes something like this. Part of what we are to be is a person who is involved in a life of intercession towards others. Those of you who stood for these kids, as I call their name, in a sense, you are in intercession for them, even as you stand. As we walk each day, there are instances and situations where we come across things that we need to be involved in prayer. We need to be in prayer for those things that we happen upon by chance. I want to talk about your life being a prayer. It has to do with this word intercession as it occurs in the Old Testament. Intercession occurs in Job chapter 36, verse 32. It doesn't look like it, but it's there. Will you read it with me? He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. It says that God covers his hands with lightning and he commands it to strike the mark. The picture that is in the Hebrew text here is the picture of storm clouds with lightning flashing. And it speaks of God covering his hands with lightning, and he commands it to strike the mark. The scripture is talking about God giving the lightning a command or a direction or a purpose to strike the mark. Now, this would be a meaningless verse except for the fact that where it says that he gives them a command that they strike the mark, the verb that is used there for striking the mark is the verb that is used in scripture for intercession or interceding. It is the Hebrew word pagah, and I've talked about this in Bible study a few times over the years. It says that God is giving them a charge that they strike the mark. You might say, well, Jack, that kind of makes sense because the basic definition of the word intercede is to happen upon by accidents or to light upon by chance. And I suppose there's nothing in the world that we can think of that is a better picture of happening upon by chance than lightning. It doesn't seem to have any particular direction, strikes randomly. Matter of fact, we sort of think of life like that, don't we? We're trained in school to think that life is just a random event. Right? That's what the scientists tell us. Everything is, you know, cause and effect kind of stuff. We're taught that some things just happen for no particular reason, including us. It's kind of like Forrest Gump. Life is a box of chocolates. Well, this word paga, intercede, to happen upon by chance, that is used in Job chapter 36, verse 32, where it says he covers his hands with his lightning and commands it to strike the mark, really has tremendous eternal significance. Now, you have to realize this is poetic passage in Scripture. In Job, it's the first of several poetic kind of books that are there. But let me develop this for you, that your life is a prayer. Now, I want you to think a little bit poetically now, but let's look at Psalm 18:14. Here we go. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. He sent forth his arrows and scattered. He sent out lightning and routed them. You know, if you read the two together, you read Job 36, 32, and 18, 14 together, it kind of has a feel to it. Let's read them together. He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike the mark. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Now, in Psalm 18:14, it clearly says that God's arrows are like lightning, or his lightning is like arrows. Now, that doesn't mean that God is looking for people to shoot down and kill and hurt or maim or injure, but in the poetic use of the language, that God's arrows are like lightning. He was using lightning like arrows. What are the arrows of God that are like lightning? Well, before we decide what the arrows are, let's look at another scripture, Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5. And let's read it together. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. If you look at this one, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Like a warrior or a hunter, he is seeking conquest, triumph. He has all the ammunition he needs. Now you got to kind of stay with me on this, because this is a gem that is hidden within the Scriptures. God covers his hands with lightning, which the Scripture says are like arrows, which the Scripture also says are essentially the same. Lightning and arrows are the same in poetic frame of reference in the Hebrew language in poetry. And still talking like this, poetically, these arrows are like what? Children. And if you kind of bring this is a gem that's hidden in the Bible. And you begin to focus here, and we just kind of wrap it all together. We kind of get a clear picture, don't we? Remember that God is covering his hands with the lightning, and he's giving it a charge, a commandment, a purpose, a mission in life. That's what? Paga, the word for intercede in English. That God charges the lightning, which is like an arrow, which can be equated with children, so that the lightning will intercede and hit the mark. That it strikes on target. And we are told that intercession is made possible by the help of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. That's where we hear that. Are you following this there? Now, I'm not making this stuff up. This is one of those gems that is hidden in the Bible. It's there in the Old and the New Testaments. Stay with me. Okay, here's the Lord covering his hands with his arrows, these lightning-like arrows, which he says are like children, sons and daughters. God has got his hands all covered with you and me. In fact, it even says so in Isaiah 49:16. That he has our names written on his hand. Let's read it together. Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Look at the front cover of your bulletin. Now think about this. It says in Isaiah that my name is engraved on his hand. Yours too. To be a child of God, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior and begin that process of making Him Lord of your life. That makes you a child of God. Psalm 18 says that He covers His hands with these arrows, and the Lord is like a mighty man, a victorious warrior, and He takes these arrows and He draws them from His quiver, and He sees a situation where the only way that He can work in that situation on earth is through His children, the body of Christ. That's why we see in the book of Revelation the resurrected Jesus as a warrior on a horse going forth. Read with me Revelation 6, 1, 2, which I had Xavier read. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, I heard one of the four living creatures say, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. This is a picture of Jesus. And notice that the weapon of choice in this picture is the bow, not a sword. He has willed that He will confine His activity to prayer in His children. And so the Lord draws one of His arrows. Here's one. We'll call this guy Jack. I'm going to make Jack by my spirit. So I went through a confirmation class very similar to this back 100 years ago. And then for 27 years of my life, He makes me, He molds me, He prepares me. Then He fires me off. I hit in Kentucky, of all places, at a church down there. A random shot? Nah, I don't think so. It may have looked like it, but He said, you take care of this situation. Now, how does He waken Jack? How does He alert Jack to pray? How does he inform Jack that his life is a prayer and he is being shot into a particular situation, environment, circumstance? Well, it's by the Holy Spirit that Jack is quickened to his charge, his mission in life, his purpose and destiny at that particular time. The only way that God can alert Jack to pray is if I am sensitive enough to the fact that I need to be available at all times. That is basically pray constantly. That means my life is a prayer. I don't have a prayer life. It has to do with availability and watchfulness, watching with all prayer, intercession, prayer, and supplication by the Spirit. The help of the Holy Spirit so that the Lord will give us signals and say, you pray now, or you be a prayer in that situation. Has anybody ever said to you, you're like an answered prayer? Constantly available to be a prayer in the life of people. I was down there in Kentucky for 23 years. God began to stir on my life. And He says, I'm picking this one up. And He puts me back in the quiver for a little bit. And then, oh, pulls it out. 1998, I landed in Decatur, Illinois. Those people didn't know what they were in for. Was it a random shot? Nah. God reached down and pulled this arrow up and He fired me off again. We are to be alerted by the signs of the Holy Spirit that He gives us. You pray for this. You pray for that. You intercede in this situation. And the Father, by the working of the Holy Spirit, is drawing an arrow from His quiver. Like a man who has a large number of children, a warrior. And He says, a mighty man with a quiver full of arrows, and those arrows are like God's lightning. And he covers his hands with that lightning. And the name of that lightning is engraved on the palms of his hand. He gives a commandment so that it goes and it strikes the mark where he wants it to work on earth. Now, I don't know if you could see this or not. If you have the picture, God's lightning is like arrows that he fires, which are like children. They are fired off with pagah, intercession, interceding in situations and lives to be a prayer. I want you to know for a certainty that if you are a child of God, a follower of Jesus, your life is a prayer. Let me say a few things about our response points in this. The places where we live this out. There are times that we think that a situation or a meeting is just a chance happening. This is where you go, what? Did you hear about such this strange thing happening the other day? Well, it won't ever happen again. It's just kind of like lightning, you know? It doesn't strike twice in the same place. And we even got a cliche for it. Just an accidental happening. The Lord is trying to say, now, wait a minute. Is it? Nothing just happens to you. Those things that alert your attention are the Spirit. Either everything has meaning or nothing has meaning. I'm going to give you an example of this. I came to church this morning, and I went to the bathroom before first service, and there was a guy in there. And I barely know him. And I said hi to him. We had a nice little conversation. I prayed for him. I didn't say, let me pray for you. I just prayed for him. Was it a chance meeting? Maybe. I told him about it in first service. I didn't call his name, though. Let me tell you about a chance. I don't know if he's here. Is John McIntosh here? He might not. I didn't see him. But he is a man who happened to be working out at Decatur Correctional Center. And we were trying to get the great banquet started down in Taylorville Correctional Center, men's prison down there. And it just so happened that John was transferred to Taylorville to be an assistant warden down there so he greased the skids so we could get our men in there and do the great banquet there. And if he was here, I'd just tell him, oh, shucks. But was it chance? No, it wasn't chance. God knew that he needed him there to clear the way so we could get into the place. I got a similar story when I started doing prison work down in Vienna, Illinois, as well. A person was placed in the situation in order to make sure that the kingdom of heaven was advanced for those people. There are times when we say we chance upon something or someone and it has an unplanned contact and sometimes a very strange kind of contact. We begin to recognize those events, things, people as times that God is destined for us to encounter so that we might pray that that situation or be a prayer in that situation. You might want to look and reverse some of this a bit at some time or point in your life where you know there was a person in your life who was literally an answered prayer to you. Think of the number of times in the course of a day that there are things that just kind of signal you if you're available. You just stop for a minute. You might see a picture in a magazine. You might drive by somebody on the street. Somebody comes to your mind. Or you see somebody, oh, that looks like so-and-so, and it brings that person to mind. I wonder if it's possible that the Lord is saying, I want you to think about so-and-so, and not only that, I want you to pray about so-and-so. You may think, well, Jack, are you trying to fill every situation with a sense of destiny and purpose? Yes, I am. uncategorically, yes. I don't care what all these scientists are trying to tell us. It's all random and all your lives, my life is all meaningless and everything, but I don't buy into that. You get a chance to go back and decide. Well, you know, I was just thumbing through a magazine. Really? So, either everything has meaning or nothing has meaning. And by the way, who have you given your life to? Oh, Jesus. Well, what do you think? Isn't it possible there is destiny and purpose in every situation or circumstance? Because I know this, either it all has meaning or none of it has meaning. What if you get called to be on a jury? You think that's by chance that would happen? What if you get asked to do something that you didn't expect to be asked to do? Do you think it means something? And you know, and you say, I need to go. And what do you think? According to the scripture, it is not only just possible and probable, it is a fact. The Lord covers his hands with his children who are like arrows, and he points them at the mark, and he says, you are going into this situation, and then he fires you off into that circumstance like a lightning bolt. Looks like it might be by chance. Pray without ceasing, praying constantly, mostly being sensitive to the situation that the Lord brings to your attention or someone he brings to your mind. I began to thinking of all the ways that we could be vulnerable to praying constantly. When you think of anybody, when somebody comes to mind, I suggest you pray for them. You don't have to do a long, launched out church prayer like I do. You throw a javelin prayer or an arrow prayer. Just pray for them. Lord, I just thought of so-and-so. I lift them up to you right now in prayer. Then you let the Holy Spirit take over, and it guides that prayer. You know, while you're thinking about them, you might talk to God about what or whom you were thinking of. You could also say, Lord, I thank you for this person in my life. Well, let's turn it around to the other kind. Anybody here have somebody in your life that's giving you a bad time? I won't ask for hands. Making your life miserable? Instead of giving place to either the disturbance that goes on in you or the discomfort or the irritation, bitterness, hostility, or even hate for that matter, pray. Lord, it really hurts me when I think about them, and I've got to tell you, Lord, that I'm finding myself not liking them at all, and I know that that's not right, but Lord, I'm going to lift them up in prayer to you. And while I'm at it, help me manage this. And you keep it in front of the Lord, and you pray about it. When news comes, items come, you know, something in that comes over that really touches your heart. Well, I think it's probably a nudge to pray for that situation or circumstance or people. You know, when the bells and the whistles, gongs start going off in your life, pray. You can pull up to a stoplight and see somebody. Hey, maybe it's pray. God has got his hands covered with his children. He has your name written on the palm of his hands. And friends, he takes us and he uses us like arrows, like a conquering hero. He rides forth on a white horse and he fires them off at the right target. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we just need to be alert to it, that you might be that arrow in that particular situation. And as these kids come and they join the church, and it's a church thing that we do, and they make a profession of faith, one of the things we need to understand is God is fashioning his people to be used in given situations. And those people, you are. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of life, help us to realize that it's not chance. It may appear to be chance, but it's not. And that you call us to be in mission for you, sometimes when we're thinking about it, sometimes when we're not. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a prayer.